Hello. Oh, the Met.
How you doing, Harry? You okay?
Yeah, you met.
Yeah. Busy day ahead, like, but yeah, all good, thanks.
Just getting some technical help there, eh?
Yeah, my wife. I am useless. Give me a pen and a pad any day.
Yeah, fair play, mate.
It's all getting more technical at work and everything as well. I'm managing it at the minute, but yeah, I'm getting old.
Yeah, sure. I was just thinking about when the last time I saw you, and I think me and my dad came to watch you play at Therapy with Andy Mason. Was it for Chorley?
Wow, did you? Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I think Andy Mason played at Chorley, yeah. He was a centre forward there. And Therapy don't exist anymore, do they not?
They had some financial trouble and they ended up going a few leagues down, but they're still going. Yeah.
All right, it was good to know they're still going. Yeah, I played there a few times, semi-professional, and obviously we just played there pre-season friendlies with Hull and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a tiny little ground, to be fair, but yeah.
I think you gave me some gloves as well, to be fair, so cheers for that.
Really? Oh, you're very welcome.
So got me somewhere.
I remember coming to watch you on a Sunday morning with your dad. Games and that. Are you still playing?
Nah, I play a bit of five-a-side with work now, but nah. I never had the right mentality for being a keeper, I don't think. I was never that confident. I think that's what I was lacking.
That's a big part of it, to be fair. My youngest lad is exactly the same. Got loads and loads of ability. But he's as easily distracted. If his mate walks past, he starts chatting to his mate. And if he lets a couple in, that's it. His head goes a bit. So
Yeah. Like if another player had a bit of a go at me, that was me gone. Couldn't handle it. I suppose that must be a big factor in becoming a pro.
Yeah, you do have to be a bit thick-skinned because you've got your teammates telling stuff. The way I used to try and think about it, they're not particularly having a go at you. It's kind of encouragement. It's like, come on, you're better than this. You can do better than that type thing. But in a lot of cases, it's the way it's said to you. But yeah, sometimes it can come across as a bit of criticism and you do have to be a bit thick-skinned. And then you've got the fans as well.
Yeah. Well, the idea of fans having a go at me, bloody hell, that'd have been next level, yeah.
but it happens.
So, like, just taking it back, Bryce, I always remember you talking about your days at West Ham because you always said you were in EastEnders for a good while because you were in a team picture behind in the Queen Vic.
That's right, yeah. I played a part in a soap opera. I was in a team photo up on a wall in the Queen Vic. And I still use it now. I play for a team every now and again called Jet 2 All-Stars. And it's like the cast from Emmerdale, Coronation Street, Hollyoaks. And every now and again, I play for them. And I tell them, I said, well, I have been in a soap opera. I know you lot are actors, but I've been in EastEnders a couple of times. I use that.
Yes. What's that, a charity thing then? Or is it just a...
Yeah, they normally get asked to play games, and it's normally for charity. I don't know if you've heard of Lenny John Rose. I played at Bury with him, played for Burnley, Blackburn, Preston, quite a few teams in the Northwest. Unfortunately, he's got multi-neurones. So I played a few games for them to raise money for multi-neurones and also for people called Rosemere, which is a cancer charity. I mean, I got diagnosed with neck cancer in 2017. So I've played a couple of games involving them as well, because that's who looked after me when I was having my treatment. So it's that sort of thing. So you can go sort of weeks and weeks without a game, but then it's all for charity. The last one I played, I think, was to raise money for the actual club itself, because they'd built a new stand. One of their fans had been killed in a car accident, unfortunately. They named a stand after him and built a new stand. So we had a game there. So it's a bit of fun, They take it seriously, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah. What, their chance to play against some pros, I guess? Ex-pros?
Yeah, I mean, they don't always play pros. A lot of the time they play against ex-pros, and sometimes a couple of ex-pros play for them. Like last one of the games I played, and Dennis Irwin played.
Wow.
So obviously he's played at the highest level, yeah. I mean, I should have been playing for the ex-pros against them. For a Lenny John Rose charity game. And, excuse me, I got a phone call in the morning of the game. Said, listen, the All-Stars haven't got a goalkeeper. Will you play for them? Because I was supposed to play for the ex-pros half each with Bobby Mims. I said, well, I don't mind. But Bobby Mims might not be happy that he's now got to play a full game because we're all knocking on a bit. So anyway, I got there and I played for the All-Stars and had a really good game. We actually beat the pros on penalties. And then I got a message from their manager, will you be our goalkeeper? I said, crikey, that's, yeah, of course I will. I said, because they made me feel really welcome and whatever. So, and it sort of carried on from there.
Ah, excellent. We'll have to keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, they play all over the Northwest. I think I've got one at Chorley, funny enough, in May. That's the next one, I think, that's coming up. But it'll just arrange games willy-nilly sometimes. But yeah, normally in the Northwest area.
Ah, nice one. Yeah, I'm only in sale, so.
Oh, yeah.
I can get to one of them, I imagine, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of them should have been at Altrincham, which isn't a million miles from Sale. So
Yeah.
Played at Hyde a couple of times. That's not a million miles away, so.
Ah, oh, nice one. I'll definitely have a look for that, yeah.
Yeah, just have a look at the website or whatever it is.
Yeah. My lad's only just gone two, so he's not quite old enough yet, but I'll bring him at some point. Yeah, just going back to that West Ham team then, you must have been playing with some names in there, some people that went on to have good careers.
When I went as a youth player, the only one that really made it from my actual age group was Stuart Slater, centre forward. He played quite a few games with the first team at West Ham, then went to Celtic when Liam Brady was manager, played for Watford. He had some quite bad injuries, so I think his career got cut short a little bit. Ipswich he played for. But he was the best. He was the one that sort of really made it out of my group. The year above, Paul Ince is the standout one. But I also played with Kevin Keane, Steve Potts, all had good careers at West Ham. Eamon Dolan, who's unfortunately passed away now, but he played quite a few first team games for a different club and ended up in management at Reading at one point. So yeah, there were some good players.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the first team, my first year at West Ham, they finished third in what was the first division, which is still the highest they've ever finished. So that was brilliant to see. That was brilliant to see as a young lad. People like Frank McAvenny, Tony Cotty, Alvin Martin, Phil Parks in goal, Ray Stewart, penalty taker, some really good players. Alan Devonshire, Billy Bonds, yeah. All my heroes as a kid, to be fair.
Did that kind of give you a good grounding? Like a lot of big characters there, obviously.
Yeah, them being big characters, but decent characters, they all took time out with the young lads. You could go to any of them and have a chat with them. But just the club itself, the manager, John Lyle, was absolutely fantastic. And to say, I mean, I class West Ham as quite a big club. I know it's not up there with your Chelsea's and that sort of thing, but it is quite a big club. And to say how big it was, he knew everything about you. Even as an apprentice, he'd call you in, how's your mum and dad, how's your sister? And he knew everything about you, your family. It was superb. And he always kept you grounded in that. A lot of kids don't make it in football. What are you going to do? If you don't play football, you need to have something to fall back on. Made sure you went to college one day a week. So you did a bit of education as well. So from that point, it was brilliant. And discipline as well. Taught you how to dress properly, how to be in public and all that sort of thing. It was a great club for that kind of thing.
And then I read when you went to Swansea, you ended up playing in the European Cup, or you're playing European football for them at one point.
Yeah, the European Cup Winners' Cup doesn't exist now. But if you won the FA Cup, that was the competition you qualified for. Well, we had the Welsh Cup in Swansea, in Wales. So if you won the Welsh Cup, you qualified to play in the European Cup Winners' Cup, which was, you know, if you're a professional club in Swansea, you've got Swansea, Wrexham and Cardiff, and then it's all non-league sides. And strangely enough, a couple of English sides played in it as well. Hereford played in it. Kidderminster Harriers. I mean, we actually played Kidderminster in the Welsh Cup final one year. So you had a decent chance of qualifying, really, which we did do. We played Panathinaikos one year and then Monaco a couple of years after that. So, but then it all stopped. The year we played Monaco, I counted as a foreigner because I was English and he was only allowed four foreigners in the squad, which was a bit harsh.
That's mad, yeah.
Well, they tried to get out of it because we played Monaco. Well, Monaco is a principality of France. Well, Wales is a principality of England. So they said, well, what's the difference? You've got all your French players playing. Why can't we have our English players? But yeah, it didn't quite work out. But yeah, it was a good route into Europe and a good experience.
Yeah, imagine the crowd at Swansea was pretty big for those games then.
It was pretty bad. I can't remember how many were there now, but when we played out in Panathinaikos, they were like 55,000, which, wow, when you're playing for Swansea, is unbelievable. It was like 55,000 at the Olympic Stadium in Athens. It was great. I mean, we trained there a couple of times. We went there one night. I mean, you won't remember it, you're probably a bit young, but there was a long-distance runner called Sedo Ita, and he was training at the stadium, the Moroccan guy.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, that's Sedo Ita running around the track there. I'm training in the pit. But yeah, it was a brilliant atmosphere.
Yeah, was it a bit mental over there or what?
Yeah. Yeah, there were like players and all sorts. I mean, we got an armed escort onto the pitch to go and warm up.
Blimey.
I mean, there were police officers, but they all had guns.
Right.
So, but yeah, there was, and then there was, I think there was a bit of trouble after the game. A few Swansea fans ended up getting kept in Greece for quite a bit. But brilliant atmosphere, but good experience.
And I think we skipped over this, but I read that you played for England under 17s. Is that right?
Yeah, played a couple of games against. Who did I play against now? Combined Services. I think played against England Universities. And I was in the squads. Kevin Pressman was the main goalkeeper, Sheffield Wednesday.
Right, okay.
Which annoyed me because he was older. He was outside the age bracket, but he was allowed a couple of overage players. Made Kevin Pressman as one of them. And Carl Muggleton, who was at Leicester at the time. So, yeah, that was a good experience as well with Alan Shearer, Matt Letizia, some decent players in there. Yeah, Julian Dix. Yeah.
Did you know, obviously, they were going to be good players at that point?
Matt Letizia and Alan Shearer stood out like a sore thumb. I mean, when I was at West Ham, we played Southampton in what was called the Junior Floodlit Cup, and they stood out in that. They were superb. So, yeah, you could tell. You could tell. Carl Bradshaw was at Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah, some good players.
Yeah, so if you like fast track a little bit to your time where you come to City, like what was the build up to going up to Boothry Park? Can you remember?
I'd never ever used an agent before. I was at Ipswich Town. They'd offered me another year. But I'd not been playing. I was in the reserve. I loved it at Ipswich. Loved living there. Absolutely brilliant club. But I thought, I need to get playing. I'm coming towards the end of my career sort of thing. So I got myself an agent through the goalkeeping coach at Ipswich. He recommended this guy. And it was him that sort of started doing the talking with Hull City. I knew Warren Joyce was there. I knew Gary Brabin was there. And I knew Di Dario was there. So I knew a few people at Hull. And we were playing Wolves away, and Hull were playing somewhere in the Midlands. And I remember talking to Di there, Di Daria. And he said, yeah, he was really enjoying it at Hull. I mean, they were struggling at the time, and they went on a brilliant run to sort of keep themselves in the league. So I had a bit of a chat about it, and didn't think anything of it. And then obviously I've got this agent guy, he's all Hull looking for a goalie. They just sold, he was called Andy Oakes to Leicester. Yeah. So they were in the market for a goalkeeper. I said, right, okay, let me know how it goes. So that's how it come about, really, yeah.
So what was your first impression of Warren Joyce? And obviously a player manager at the time.
Really nice guy, really nice guy. I knew his dad at Bury, and they were like peas out of a pod. I mean, I used to have a right good laugh with his dad, Walter, who's unfortunately not with us anymore. But yeah, smashing bloke. And he obviously did a great job at the end of that season. He probably got thrown in at the deep end a little bit. Did a brilliant job to keep him in the league. Went on a bit of a run. And then, when I spoke to him, I thought, I'm impressed. And obviously, John McGovern was there as well. He was massively experienced. European Cup winner. League winner. I thought it was all good.
And obviously, at that point in your career, like you say, you're coming to be number one. Is that what Joycey kind of told you would be the case?
Yeah, he said he was signing me as a number one. Obviously, you can never guarantee that. We met Steve Wilson, who was at the club at the time. Excellent goalkeeper. I think he's a Hull lad, local lad. He'd been at Hull City all his career and a really good goalkeeper. So you can never guarantee that you'll be number one. But I had more chance of playing at Hull than I did at Ipswich at the time. I started the season as number one.
Where were we training at that point? Was it still at Boothry Park or was it at the university?
We trained at the university and we trained at Boothry Park. We trained at a couple of other places. I have no idea what it was called, but it was out the way a little bit, but it was mainly at the university, yeah.
And then starting that season, obviously start first choice. What can you remember about the start of the season. Did we start off like quite mixed?
Yeah, we got beat 1-0 away at Exeter in a game really we should have won, or at least got something. I actually saved the header and it hit the bar and they scored the rebound. What really amazed me was how many fans Hull took. To say how far Exeter is from Hull, couldn't believe how many we took down. And you got a feeling, I thought, crikey, if we can get this up and running, we can start doing well, we'll get some big crowds in. To be honest, I didn't know a massive amount about Hull before I went. I knew people that had played for them, but I didn't know too much about the area. And I thought there's not really that many clubs around them. I mean, when you travel to Hull from elsewhere, you get to Leeds and you think you're nearly there, and you're not. You're still isn't it? Up the M62. So I thought, if we can, you know, start doing really well, the potential to get decent crowds in that is massive. So we got beat 1-0 at Exeter. Then we beat Rotherham in the, I think it was called the Worthington Cup at the time. Beat them over two legs, drew Liverpool in the next round. But it was a bit hit and miss in the league, like you say. I think we drew with Lincoln, got beat off Macclesfield, had a couple of other draws. So it was a bit of a mixed bag in the first few games in the league, but we did all right in the cup. And then I got sent off against Macclesfield, and that was the start of an horrible run for me. It went from bad to worse.
Yeah, I watched that game last night. It's absolutely mad. Obviously you get sent off, and then by the end it's just a full scale brawl on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, Colin Alside scored an absolute worldy goal to put us 1-0 up. And Brabs didn't miss one. He had one that would have been up there with Colin Alside's goal as well. Same top corner, just missed it. And we looked comfortable up until I got sent off. And I'm not convinced I'd get sent off now for that, because I think it was, who was behind me? There was a couple of players on the line. It might have been Greavesy and Mark Edwards on the line. I wasn't the last man, and it was a genuine attempt for the ball. I'm not saying I didn't clip him, I did, but there was no malice in it or anything like that, but people at work have watched it and said, crikey, still getting treatment now, that lad. Couple wiped him off.
Well, if you're going to go, you may as well make the most of it.
Well, yeah, but I, at the time I didn't think it was a sending off. Having seen it on YouTube or whatever, I thought, yeah, I can kind of see why I got sent off. But like I said, there was at least one person behind me on the line.
And he did get a shot off, to be fair. I don't know if that matters, but...
Yeah, I was just trying to spread myself to... he probably did, because I was just trying to spread myself.
Yeah.
It was through on goal. There you go.
Yeah, they mentioned the Liverpool game. Was that after Macclesfield?
Yeah, because we'd... I got sent off in the second leg at Anfield again. I chested it down and kicked it out, and the linesman said I'd handballed it. And even their players was at ref, it's not even a free kick. Gary Brabin tried to head it back to me from the halfway line, there or thereabouts, and Riedler had read it, and he was going to get there, so I had to come running out of the area, and I chested it down, kicked it out of play, run back, to get ready for the throw-in, and the linesmen were flagging, so the ref sent me off. And like I say, even the Liverpool players, Riedler, Murphy, were saying to the referee, you know, what are you doing? It's a throw. So fair play to him for that. But I mean, there were 5-2 up or something from the first leg. I was actually having a good game at Anfield. And that led to a longer ban and didn't do me any favours at all.
Obviously, Willow gets the chance to play at that point, and I think Matt Baker came on in that game. Was it a bit of a mix between who was playing from that point in?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Willow was injured. He'd got a knee injury. I think he did it pre-season. I'm sure he did it at Goole in the, might have been the Humberside Cup or something like that. So he did it quite early on. And obviously the Worthington Cup's quite early on in the season. So Matt Baker was on the bench and he'd come on at Anfield. That was his first game. I think it was his first game. I'm trying to think who would have played. It might have been his second game. I can't remember who played because I got suspended for the Macclesfield one. And he actually did quite well when he came on. So it was an opportunity for him. But... it was after sort of a promising start for me personally because, you know, I couldn't wait to get going because I'd had 2-3 years playing reserve team football and now I was in the first team and I was absolutely itching for the season to start and then to get sent off like that and I give a couple of penalties away as well. I just thought, this is not going as I wanted it to go at all. Really frustrating.
I do remember you starting in that Chelsea game, though, at Boothry Park.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we had someone on loan by then. We had Stephen Bywater on loan for West Ham. And then we had Nick Culkin on loan for Man United after that. I played against Chelsea. I played all the FA Cup games. I think Willow played Hayes away and they got a draw. And then I played the Hayes game at home, which we got a win and put us through to play Chelsea in the next round. And I played against Chelsea.
I remember the next day, I think we went to watch football in the pub and you were like, oh yeah, when I was warming up and I could hear the team list, I was a bit like, oh, here we go.
The subs, I mean, sorry, Andre Flo was on the bench. So yeah, it was always going to be a tough one, that one. But again, good experience. It's weird because when I was at Swansea, we played Liverpool in the FA Cup. And I didn't think anything of it. I weren't worried by it. As you get older, you start to think, we could get a right tater in today. But when you're a young lad, you don't think that. You just want to play. Can't wait for the game. I mean, I wanted to play against Chelsea, obviously, but we thought, if they're on song, we could get a right wallop in here.
But I mean, we were in the game until the second half, weren't we? 2-1 at half time, I think.
Yeah, I think Brownie scored to make it 2-1. I mean, the first couple of goals they scored, the first one, Gus Poyet scored top corner, and he thought, wow. So it was really two really good goals that we were down to, and then obviously Brownie scored to get us back in it. And like you say, we were in the game up to a point, but yeah, and then the class told, I think. And the pitch suited Chelsea as well. The playing surface at Boothry was always really good. And obviously Chelsea played decent football on the floor, and you know, I bet they were pleasantly surprised, really.
And I remember it suited like Theo Whitmore as well. He seemed to have a good game.
He did have a good game. He was, I'm not sure how old he was. I think he probably lost his passport at some point. I think he was in his 40s when he comes to Hull City. He seemed to be around forever and ever. But yeah, really good technical player. And he did. He stood out that day. He stood out. He stood out in a few games. He was a decent player.
And had Richard Peacock on, who'd gone by that point. But we were talking about John Whitley in that game because apparently he told a few of the Lincoln lads that he was going to have a go at Dennis Wise. And I was watching the highlights and he just absolutely lays him out at one point. And then goes to have a go at him afterwards as well.
Does he really? That doesn't surprise me. It was quite a tough knock, was John Whitley. I think he's a physio now. I think he was a physio at Lincoln, maybe. Yeah, I know he was doing physiotherapy at one point anyway. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I don't recall that. Yeah, doesn't surprise me at all. And if you're going to have a do at someone in the Chelsea side, Dennis Wise is a man to try and double.
Yeah. Then, yeah, like the rest of the season, was it a bit of a stop-start for you, a bit of a struggle, really?
It was really frustrating, like I say, because no disrespect to Stephen Bywater, when he'd come on loan, he didn't do particularly well.
Was he a bit of a nutter? I've heard he's a bit of a character.
He wasn't then, but I think he went on to become a nutter.
Right.
So I reckon he's part and parcel of becoming a goalkeeper, but he took it to other levels. I heard stories about him when he was at Derby and that sort of thing. But when he was at Hull, I didn't think he did particularly well. So I actually spoke to Warren Joyce about it. I said, look, I said, if he was absolutely playing brilliantly, I get it. But I just got the feeling, in my mind at the time, I thought, you're looking after someone else's player rather than one of your own. And I think the deal, I think Harry Redknapp were manager at West Ham at the time. I think the deal that letting Stephen come was that he had to play.
Okay, right.
And then in the meantime, I got sent off again in the reserve team game at Hartlepool. Where I handball outside and it did hit my arm. Again, it was a short back pass. So I've had to come running out, lads, at a shot. And I've sort of just done a star jump, really, to try and block the shot and hit me on the arm. I got sent off again at Hartlepool. So then I had a 6-game suspension.
Six?
Because it doubled up each time.
Blimey, right. What, does that keep you out of reserve games as well?
Yeah, couldn't play at all. Couldn't play at all. So then they got Nick Culkin on loan from Man United, who did quite well, to be fair. He actually plays for Jet 2 All-Stars sometimes. He's the other goalkeeper.
All right. Yeah, didn't he have... I saw him on Sky Sports News not long ago. I think he'd had... I can't remember what for now. But yeah, I remember his penalty save at Orient, yeah.
is a Premier League record question on in
that's the one, I think.
Yeah, I think he played 30 seconds at Ibrox.
That's the one, yeah, that's why he was on, yeah.
Came on a sub, took a goal, took the free kick or took a goal kick or something, that were it. The final whistle. But he's playing the Premier League.
Yeah, fair play. So at the end of that season when, you know, Joycey goes, Brian Little comes in, it's obviously like an opportunity for you. Is that what you're thinking at the time?
Yeah, I think we all did. We thought Brian Little, experienced manager, everyone starts with a clean slate. And I was, by then I'd moved because I was living in Hull. Didn't settle in Hull at all. Don't really know why. It's the only place I've never settled down. I don't really know why. So I moved back out of the area to Burnley. And we're travelling every day. It was me, Woody Brownie and Gary Brabin sharing the driving. And I was started playing well again. I was enjoying it. Clean slate, like you say, and was looking forward to the season. But then Brian Little had other ideas. He wanted his own players in, which isn't unusual. It happens when managers come in. He wanted it to be his team. And that was it, really. I played the first 10 or 11 games, I think, beside Paul Musselwhite.
Right.
Who went straight into the team at Barnet. Played Barnet away. And he actually apologised to me, Paul Musselwhite, because I'd kept a clean sheet in the game before. And he said, look, I'm really sorry. I said, it's not your fault. It is what it is. But what disappointed me about it was Brian Little didn't tell me I wasn't playing. He told his assistant to tell me.
All right.
Which I thought was a bit... I thought, at least, you know, if you're not going to play me, at least have a chat with me and tell me why. And all I got was, it was Dean Smith, his assistant manager. I said, so right, why has a manager not told me? He said, well, he's not signed Paul Musselwhite for him not to play, is he? And that was it. That was the only explanation I ever got. And that was off the assistant manager.
Right, okay. It's not very good man management, is it?
Well, no. And to say Brian Little had been at Aston Villa, Leicester, you know, managed at a high level, I would have expected a little bit more. So I was a little bit disappointed. I mean, I didn't fall out with him. I don't dislike him. But I just, yeah, I was disappointed in that.
But yeah, things get difficult that season, locked out of the ground and everything. What are your memories of that like? Obviously, looking back.
That was in my first season.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get paid for about 3 or 4 months, something like that. We turned up at Boothroyd Park for training and the ground were locked. And we thought, and it's the biggest padlocks I've ever seen in my life. And obviously, we found out that the club was struggling financially. For the more experienced players who had sort of a bit of a longer career, it wasn't so bad because, you know, we had savings and that sort of thing. But for the young lads, I think Jamie Wood had just bought a house. His first house, and all of a sudden he's not getting paid. So some of the older players, we just said, look, make sure the younger ones get paid a little bit. We'll have even more reduced wages than the others, kind of thing, because we knew one or two of them were struggling. And then obviously Adam Pearson come on board then with his consortium, and everything got sorted out. But yeah, it was a because at that time I thought I was offered a year's contract by Ipswich, who were going great guns in the Championship, and I'm suddenly not getting paid. Ipswich actually went up to the Premier League that year.
Yeah, was that the time when they got into Europe and everything?
Yeah, they went up to the Premier League, and then the following season they finished sixth and qualified for Europe, as you say, and I weren't getting paid. Or playing it at the time either.
Were you itching for a move away, obviously, then, with all those circumstances?
There was a chance. My first season, I could have gone on loan to Chesterfield. Warren Joyce, he was transfer deadline day, says you might be able to let you go on loan to Chesterfield. But Chesterfield, who were really struggling at the time, they couldn't pay my wages. So that was the end of that. But I think David Darrier had gone to Chesterfield, and he said, look, Brace isn't playing at Hull, why don't we get him on loan? So I think John Duncan was the manager, but obviously they didn't pay the wages, so that fell. Bye. Wife, she's going to work.
Right, no worries.
So yeah, but then obviously when Brian Little come in, like I say, clean slate, I thought, right, I can get going now, I can sort of build some momentum. And I was doing, like I say, I played the first 10 or 11 games and was playing quite well. We had a bit of a mixed start, but I was actually playing decent, and it all changed again.
So did you finish the season with City, like through the playoffs and everything?
I was at the playoffs, yeah. My last game, we played Plymouth away. I don't know if Mozzy was injured or he'd been sent off or something. He missed a game. And it was weird. We were playing the game away at Plymouth on a Tuesday night. And during the game, I thought, this could be my last ever game as a professional. And it was a really strange feeling. Because, again, I had a decent game. Didn't do anything wrong. Got a decent 1-1 draw away to Plymouth. And that was it. That was it. I didn't play again. And but of that season, we got to the playoffs. We actually beat Orient at home 1-0. John Ayre scored a goal.
Hmm.
And then we got beat away at Orient. One lad scored a free kick, which it must have been about 40 yards out.
Is it Lockwood? Yeah.
Yeah. And it flew in. And then they got the winner, and unfortunately we didn't get to Wembley. But we'd been through not getting paid, we'd been through snow and everything. The petrol strike, that was it. We'd all managed to get fuel because we were all travelling over from the Manchester area then. All of us managed to get fuel between us. We'd been through all sorts, and none of us were playing apart from Brownie. He was the only one out of us travelling that were playing. And that was another frustration. We'd not missed a day's training. We were left in the cold, really. Brian Little hadn't spoke to any of us. We were sort of become the whole City Eight or whatever, because he wanted all his own players. And he wanted people to live in Hull as well, which I'd actually done. I'd actually moved to Hull because I thought it was the right thing to do. And then a couple of the players he signed didn't, and yet they played every game. But he said one of his reasons for leaving the Alps was I want you to live in the area.
Right.
yeah.
How's that come to a conclusion then with Brian Little? Did you have a chat with him before he got released or anything?
I didn't get released. I had a year left him.
Right.
I still had another year left. And then we had the end of season do, function, whatever you want to call it. And again, Dean Smith, assistant, the chairman wants to see you. So when Brian Little, the chairman, wants to see you, I said, right, when's it? Tomorrow. I'm like, right, I live in Burnley. So I've got to drive home from here tonight and come back for tomorrow morning. And I actually said to him, I said, why are you telling me? Why is the manager not pulling me? Or why is Adam Pearson not saying something to me personally? If you want to see me. And I knew what were coming. So I went to see Adam Pearson the next day. I said, what will you take to leave? You know, you've got a year left on your contract. I said, well, I've not got a club to go to. I've not got a job to go to. I need a bit of time to try and find a club or whatever. And maybe an offer, which was, I'll be honest, derisory. I said, well, there's no way I'm accepting that. And then we agreed a figure later on. And I started training with Berry just to keep fit and that sort of thing. So it was it's disappointing and frustrating because I was so keen when I first went to Hull. I really wanted it to go well because I knew it was probably going to be my last professional club. And I was quite happy to finish my career there, doing a 3-year, because I signed a 3-year contract. I thought it had really good potential to get the big crowds in and whatever. It was a great, great place to play, Boothroyd Park. Sort of a bit of an old school stadium, if you like. We had loads of character, loads of history. And it's just so frustrating the way it worked out.
It's the life of a keeper, well, any player, but...
Yeah, it's the life of a footballer. I mean, it's happened to much better players than me where a new manager's come in the club, decided, you're not for me. And that's it, you're sort of left in the cold. But there's ways of doing it. And it was the way it was done that I wasn't impressed with or disappointed in. I mean, there were we played in the Sherpa Van Trophy or whatever it was called at the time. And it was Chester away. And I had to drive to Hull to go back to Chester, to come back to Hull, to drive back home again, to drive back to Hull the next day to play in the reserves. Why couldn't I have been picked up?
Hmm.
And it's just stuff like that. And it was just everything just seemed to be to get you down. You go and train with another group, train with the youth team or train with the reserves or whatever. And it was the beginning of my third season. Didn't get a squad number. Wasn't on the team photo, that sort of thing. And you just thought, why? There's no need for all that. If you don't want us here, that's fine. But still treat us like adults.
So it was like you eight players that were getting that treatment still?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
There were a few of us. Yeah. Okay. And like I said, there was no need for it. If he just said, look, I want my own team in. I'm really sorry. It's not, you've not done anything wrong, but I want to make my own signing. So if the team does well, I can say it's my team. Try and get yourself a club, or we'll try and get you a club. You can go out on loan or whatever and have a bit of a chat. Don't just not speak to us and leave it to your assistant manager. All I got was, well, he's not signed him not to play. I didn't sign not to play.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Yeah. But you were able to enjoy the rest of your career with a few more clubs, though.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, as I said, I went training with Berry to keep fit, and I loved it. It was absolutely brilliant. What's the manager's name? Something Priest. Can't think of his first name. Played up front for Stockport.
Andy
Priest was the manager, yes. And he was good enough to let me train with Berry. And I actually played a few pre-season friendlies for him and was playing well. And one day while I was there, I was down in the laundry room, and Peter Swan come in, who obviously played for Hull City. And he said, who are you playing for? I said, well, no one at the minute. I said, I'm training here. I says, if I can get a club in the Northwest, I'll consider it. Because there was talk of going to Torquay or Oxford, but I didn't want to move house anymore. And that'd have meant moving again. And he said, well, I'm at Ossett Town in the Northern League, Unibond League. He said, and play for us on Saturday if you want. At the Witton Albion. I'm like, well, right, okay, I'm not doing anything. He says, they're a good bunch of lads. They're a decent team. I think we can do all right this season. So I played for them on the Saturday at Witton Albion. Absolutely loved it. Thought, right, I'll stick with you guys. And that was it. I signed for Ossett Town and thoroughly enjoyed it. And then from there, I played for a few sort of non-league clubs, semi-professionally. Got a job in a factory on a 6-2 shift, so I could still go training and play my football, and applied for the police force.
Ah, nice one. So how long have you been in the police then?
It'll be 19 years in March. Still trying to catch something. I'm trying to catch baddies now instead of a ball.
Yes. Got to ask you about this story. I only have a vague memory of it, but it's become a bit of like a folklore story with City fans that you were featured in the Amber Nectar fanzine and you ended up confronting Les Motherby, the writer, outside Three Tons. Is that right?
I was on my way to the Three Tons and I think it was your dad that stopped me.
Oh, right.
It weren't particularly a feature on me. It was different things and it had a bit of a pop at me, which is fine. I was a bit thick-skinned, but it had a pop at some of the younger lads as well. And to me, fanzines should be a bit of fun. Yes, fans are, of course, they're entitled to their opinion and that sort of thing. But on that particular edition, he'd gone way over the top on a couple of people. It didn't particularly bother me that I were one of them. I kind of expected it, really, because I'd given some penalties away and been sent off and all that kind of thing. But he had to go at a couple of the young lads. So I was just going to go and just, not, you know, knock him out or anything like that, but I was just saying, you need to back off of these lads. They've come through being not paid. They've come from, you know, petrol strikes, all sorts of, not missed training, and you're having a pop at them. I said, it was just to get him to back off from that, really. And I'm sure it was your dad that stopped me going over to the pub.
Oh, okay. So you never actually spoke to him?
No.
Oh, okay, fair play.
Yeah, probably a good thing, but I might not be in the police now.
Right. I put on Twitter that you were coming on, and one guy, John Azell, said, can you apologise to him for pissing him off as he was warming up at Anfield? Does that make any sense to you?
Because he was warming up at Anfield.
And then he said he pissed you off when you were warming up at Anfield. I don't know how he did that. But he's apologised anyway.
I can't remember. Okay, he's apologised. I'm like, apology accepted, but I can't remember what you've done, John. No, I don't know. I don't know what that'd have been. The only thing that would pissed me off at Anfield was getting sent off.
Yeah, fair play. Who was the toughest opponent you faced at Boothby Park? Obviously, a lot of big names. Did you play in that Liverpool game as well?
Yeah, played both games against Liverpool. Toughest opponent that I faced. If you mean skill wise or physically wise, York City. Mark Satori. He was a big, tough centre-half. He knocked me about a bit when we played York. They also had Kevin Hume, who I know as Reggie the Roofer from the days at Bury. They were a big physical side. Skill wise, probably the Zola was unbelievable. Gus Poyet, unbelievable. They ran the show. So yeah, probably that.
Just remember the story you once told about playing Ian Wright in reserves as well.
Yeah.
A bit of an exchange with him, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it weren't my fault. I was playing for Ipswich reserves. We were playing at Roots Hall, South End. We were playing against West Ham, which was bizarre in itself. I'd never played against West Ham since I'd left. So it was a strange experience for me. And he was playing up front for West Ham and got caught offside. And he had the ball. Kick us the ball, mate. And he looked at me, I'm not your mate. I'm like, all right, I'll get the ball myself then. So we had a few words. So he was a fiery character. But off the pitch, absolutely brilliant. Shook my hand at the end of the game, and it's just on the pitch, it's totally different during the course of the game. I don't suppose he was best impressed at being in the reserves at the time, but he bit me off a little bit.
Is there a game that stands out at Boothry Park, kind of thing, that you played
in? The Liverpool games and the Chelsea games, really. The games at Boothry Park, the best game I had for Hull was probably away at Rotherham in the Cup. I come and caught every cross, saved everything, had a really good game. And that was about second or third game into the season, and things were going well, and I thought I'm enjoying it. But then it took a turn for the worst. But at Boothry Park, I would say the Liverpool and Chelsea games, they stick in memory because we had as big a crowd as we could get in at the time. Really good atmosphere, obviously, playing against top opposition.
Just about who you remember from your time there, obviously, I know you got on well with my dad. But you've had other players saying, you know, they'd end up confiding a lot in people like John Cooper and other people that are around the club. Like, who do you remember at that point?
Your dad is the main one. And I'm not just saying that because it's you interviewing me. When I first arrived, he really took me under his wing because I think he realised that I didn't know anything about the area. I went out for a couple of beers with him every now and again, come to watch you play football on a Sunday. And he interviewed me a couple of times, question and answer type thing. And so he's the standout one. He's a legend at Hull, isn't he? It's brilliant. It's a fantastic legacy. And it's funny because he did all the stuff on the tannoy. I'm good friends with a guy that does the stuff on the tannoy at Bury, and they look like
right.
They're coming back. A guy called Brian White, and it's a similar sort of thing. So, player wise, probably David Durrier, because I knew I was with him at Swansea. Your dad is the main one.
A lot of good memories, a lot of. I remember going to Three Tons with you and, like you say, like going to the pub the day after the Chelsea game and stuff. Yeah. I remember, like, my uncle came with us and he, like, I don't think you could believe that he's having a beer with the bloke that played in goal the previous day.
Yeah, I suppose it is a bit bizarre. It is a bit bizarre, but you could do it then. I don't know what it's like now, but I mean, I could go to the local pub and stuff like that and be left alone, sort of go for a pint with your mate's uncle and whatever, but the football the way it is now and mobile phones and everything else. So I don't know if you get away with it now. And even in Hull, I mean, they know they're in the Championship at the minute. But can the players just go out and have a night out and be left alone? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It sounds like it has changed a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine Ronaldo sort of going for a pint and I'll just nip into a pub in Manchester City Centre. He'd be murdered for him.
Yeah. I saw he went to the post office somewhere in Greater Manchester, and it's just all over social media immediately, yeah.
Exactly. It's bizarre. It's changed massively. You'll never catch
that tiger. Thanks for listening to this episode of This Was Boothry Park. As always, just like to give a quick shout out to those who made the research easy, including OnCloud7, Tiger Tube Player, Tiger Bass, and Rich Gardens the Decade.